The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 5. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
And thank you for listening to ReviewParty.com. On this podcast, we check out obscure and absurd internet reviews from all over the place across the internet, including Amazon and Yelp and all that fun stuff. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. A little behind the scenes. That everyone, you know, everyone knows I love to do. This is our first post-podcast launch recording. So I think the energy is palpable. Is that the saying? The energy is palpable?
You could cut the energy with a knife.
With a vibrating bread knife.
Exactly.
That's a goddamn callback. Heyo! Welcome to the show. Before we get started, full disclosure, this is a topic me and Matt texted about a bit, joked about a bit, so this isn't our first time talking about it, but I thought it was too funny not to talk about. How do you prepare for the podcast, man? What kind of beverages do you enjoy?
I usually just go with water, and then I try and get the sounds of water out of my mouth.
I wake up I chug some water in the morning. Just make sure I'm staying hydrated, and then I take sugar and caffeine to the bloodstream in the form of whatever soda I can get my hands on. But Bert Kreischer, of Netflix comedy fame, of shirtless fame, he prepares for the day by drinking Kool-Aid. And they talked about this on him and Tom Segura have a podcast, Two Bears, One Cave. And they talked about how Bert Kreischer drinks a gallon of Kool-Aid a day.
I can't even imagine it. It just makes me sad.
I know. I love Kool-Aid. I love the crappy, stupid little sugary kids' drinks. I can't not say that. But a gallon? I just get gut rot thinking about it.
What makes it special is that you have it, like, sometimes. Mom's not going to let you have that for every meal. You got to drink your milk, too.
Right, exactly. But that funny little bit of them laughing over him drinking Kool-Aid got me thinking, what sort of childhood vices do you have, Matt? Do you have any vices that are maybe considered, not your classic sort of sinful taboo vice, but maybe just something from your childhood that you can't quite shake? For me, it is the sugary drinks, you know, going to the gas station. I can't help but side-eye the Sunny D and the Kool-Aid jammers and those little plastic Kool-Aids with the twist-off top. I love those. Mm-hmm.
For me, I do like candy, but a lot of people like candy, so I can't use that. Poor impulse control a lot of the times if I find something that I want to buy. Well, what is money? That's a thing I could have right now.
Yeah, being an adult, you know, when you're a kid, you're coming to money maybe twice a year, like after Christmas and
right,
after your birthday.
Your birthday.
And so you have money twice a year, so of course you're going to spend it. I would, my sister was really good at saving, but I would always, whatever video games I didn't get for Christmas that were big that year, I would just use all my Christmas money and complete the collection.
Cereal. I eat a lot of cereal for an adult.
Yeah, cereal's good, kind of good for you, even if it's
some
sugary.
Of it is.
Some of it is not the stuff you're eating.
No, I do try and have good healthy cereal. I had some dried fruit in there, but dang, yeah. you put a box or the bag of the Malto meal, whichever it is, Fruity Pebbles, and it could disappear.
This might flash you back to our college dorm room, but I have a bag of Honey Nut Scooters next to my desk that I chow on a hot a handful of anytime I get a little hunger pang. But that's the, I remembered what I was going to complete the thought. So when you're a kid, you have money like twice a year. But when you're an adult, you like have your birthday every week when you get paid on Thursday or Friday. So it's so hard I need a little luxury this paycheck. I gotta treat myself.
I need bowling shoes. I need roller skates. I go once every 2 or 3 years.
Of course, of course. You got a review to start us off, my man?
I do. I just mentioned shoes, so...
There it is. Cha-cha-cha.
This is how we run this show. We've got everything in hand.
Yeah, smooth sailing.
This is a Wayfair review for the Schenck lounge chair, which doesn't really explain what it is well enough, in my opinion, because this is a chair that looks like a high-heeled shoe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it would be helpful if they put that in the name, but...
More like a skank lounge chair.
More like it. This is a review from Natalie in Rexford, Montana. She's a verified buyer, by the way. I bought the white chair, and I love it. It's perfect for the girl who loves sparkle. The seat is not soft, actually fairly hard, but I bought it for decorative purposes. It was easy to assemble. My husband even suggested buying another, which we will do. 5 stars. What is your first thought when you hear that review? Because I know mine.
I don't know if I want either one of those chairs is enough. I don't want to couple up and make it a thing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And I feel like this husband was probably, he stretched his sarcasm just a little bit too far. And he caught something he didn't really want.
And you know, maybe this is a couple that is progressive, doesn't participate in gender roles, and we're all about that here. But for better or for worse, I don't take your typical internet reviewing Karen to be I guess I wrongfully or rightfully stereotype them as basic, let's mm-hmm. say.
So you think that they want one for each person so they can sit side by side in their chairs.
Right, side by side, maybe, you know, angled, the feet angled towards each other a little bit.
And then they can play a little footsie on their shoe chairs.
Yeah, they can have the nice side tables in between with their knickknacks and books. Okay. They lock feet. maybe it's literally toe-to-toe, so they can, like, lockstep.
Lock eyes
and blast off into whatever sort of situation that they like to enjoy.
Some footy love. Okay. That's not what I interpreted at all.
Okay, hit me.
My first read is that this husband was like, yeah, honey. Yeah, it looks great. Why don't we ought to get another. Yeah. And her eyes just lit up. Oh, Don, do you really think so? And he thought, oh, God.
I've made a mistake.
And she's telling all her friends. And then the friends' husbands are like, yeah, smooth move there, Don. Like, you never say you get more shoes, even if it's a chair.
Yeah, before he knows it, his spot in the alley for drinking beers with the neighborhood boys is gonna have one of those chairs, and he's never gonna hear the end of it.
A nice steel toe boot chair.
Yeah, why don't they do like a male version, like a pair of Tims
for outdoors?
Yeah, Red Wings boot shaped chair
lasts forever.
Yeah, it's a steel-toed chair. You can take a hammer to that sucker, and your toes will be just fine. There's a little spot in the bottom to slip your feet in like a sleeping bag, and they'll be protected.
I wish them the best.
Yeah, me as well.
They're in Montana. There, I guess, isn't a whole lot else they can be excited about. Sorry.
Yeah, after you see those mountains and trees a few hundred times, a wild chair probably looks pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, that chair's a little different.
Let me sit on that.
I got another review for us.
Okay.
This is our first fan submitted review. Yeah, how exciting, right?
It is exciting.
I'd like to give a warm thank you to my father, Scott Nimitz, for submitting this review. And I do have to give this with a grain of salt.
Okay.
This is a, I think, whether you can think of it off the top of your head or not, an infamous internet review, an infamous set of internet reviews.
I have an idea.
This is a review submitted by Scott Nimitz for the Haribo sugar-free gummy candy bears.
Okay.
If you don't know why we're we're drumming up the vibe for this one so much, I think you'll find out very quickly. The review my dad sent us is a long one, and so I'm going to edit it down for both content and time, but a quick Google will help you find the rest if you're curious after this episode. Anyway, without further ado,
yeah, this review, in.
Yep, we're ready to go. This is a review written by Luke for Haribo sugar-free gummy candy bears from Amazon. He titles it, "See You in Hell, Haribo Sugar-Free Gummy Bears."
Oh, no.
So, he writes, "It was my last class of the semester, and the final exam was worth 30% of our grade. After a large night study session, I felt confident, and I had to decide between sleeping in or cooking breakfast. My eyelids chose sleep. My stomach later regretted this decision, and after several uncomfortable stomach growls, I finally decided to make a quick stop by the campus bookstore and grab a snack before my test. Since the semester was ending and everyone was going home for the summer, a lot of items were on sale, including the snacks and candy that they kept at the front. Being in the hungry state that I was in, it felt only logical to pick the largest yet least expensive candy in order to get more bang for my buck. Classic college student move."
Yeah.
"And there they sat, two bags of Haribo sugar-free gummy bears, buy one, get one free. What a deal," I thought naively. I would eat one bag before my test and one bag afterwards. As I walked to class, I gleefully chewed on those indomitable little bastards, unaware of the utter mayhem that they would soon unleash on my poor, poor anus. I sat down at my desk as the professor informed us that, due to issues with cheating as in the past, restroom breaks would be prohibited until the completion of the exam. "I'll give you 10 minutes to use the restroom now. This will be your last chance. Any takers?" The demon bears hadn't released their unholy necromancy upon my stomach yet, so in my moment of ignorance foolishness, I remained seated, still munching on those miniature bear-shaped bombs. After the students wise enough to take the professor's offer had returned, the professor handed out the test. I was six questions in when it happened. It started subtly at first, almost a slight tingly sensation in my lower abdomen. I thought nothing of it, assuming my intestines were just doing their thing. Little did I know that my intestines were trying desperately to warn me of the horror that was on the horizon. By question nine, it happened again, but this time it followed by a sharp pain, as if those infernal hellions had orchestrated an attack upon my colon. I'll stop there. I think you can see where this story is going. If you'd like to continue, it's very easy to find. There are hundreds of reviews like this for Haribo sugar-free gummy bears. And yeah, when my dad first sent me this review, I thought, oh man, I don't really want to do, our show's not really about those stereotypical, everybody knows sort of meme reviews that are out there. We try and go a little more obscure with it, try and bring people something new. But I thought, this is a mountain we had to climb eventually. And why not climb it now?
Ugh.
I like gummy bears.
I love gummy bears, especially the pineapple flavor. pineapple is underappreciated in most other candies, but it's like all the gummy bear manufacturers got together and were like, hey, we want to include pineapple, right? Okay, good. We're all on board.
Yeah, I'm not a big pineapple guy, but I do like the, they're not quite yellow. They're kind of clear, right?
Yeah, beautiful stuff.
Yeah, they, yeah, those are tasty little bastards, but I haven't sampled the sugar-free version. I was lucky enough to hear about this, not firsthand. I heard about this, you know, after the reviews became infamous.
I feel like somewhere along the way, most people pick up the knowledge that sugar-free gummy bears, the gluten-free peeps, are things you do not want to just chow down on in great quantities, because there'll be a reckoning.
It's like, it makes me think of how, like, sketchy drug dealers lace cocaine with baby laxative and drywall. Is Haribo doing the same thing with their gummy candy?
If you clear the kids out, that's space for more gummies.
Yeah, if you clear the kids out, that's space for more kids.
Not what I was thinking.
I think it's the fact that, what, you know, obviously there's chemistry and science behind what's happening, but I picture it more like whatever they put in these little gummy bears that makes them still sweet, but not with standard sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It really just, it makes me think of another terrible criminal act. I read there's a book called A Long Way Gone about child soldiers in Africa.
Okay.
And the older soldiers would give them brown. And what brown was gunpowder mixed with cocaine.
What?
And it would make them into savage beasts that would commit war crimes. Truly awful. An amazing book about an amazing journey. But I think that's the effect that these gummy bears have from this artificial sugar. They're sliding down the trachea, ready to commit war crimes against your lower intestine.
And it just leaves the other side completely empty, hollowed out.
They're tumbling down the trachea, going, "Banzai, take no prisoners." they latch onto your lower intestines and constrict and pull and scream and with fires in their little gummy bear eyes. "We will destroy everything you've ever loved," the gummy bears exclaim as they tear your body apart from the inside.
Gotta get some Osmosis Jones on that.
Yeah, where's Osmosis Jones? That's why Bill Murray can eat as many sugar-free gummy bears as he wants. Osmosis Jones is on the case. So, anything else strike you about this review?
I'm sorry. I hope he did well on the test.
Let's see. Skip ahead in the review a little bit. He said, with 15 seconds left, I promptly wrote C for every answer and ran out of the classroom. So I'm not sure.
I guess his grade's in the toilet. Whoa.
Whoa, ha-cha-cha. Whoa. with that absolute zinger, do you have another review for us?
I do. It's following the trend of unfortunate animals. This is a Google review for Santa's Village Azusement and Water Park, left by Thomas Clemens. Okay, Google got us to this one. Thanks, buddy. This place is overpriced and the size of a postage stamp. Take your kids to a park or a church carnival. We passed two carnivals on the way, and I wish I stopped at both. This has some of the angriest goats I've ever seen at a petting zoo. And I have two kids under the age of 7. I am somewhat of an authority on a petting zoo.
Okay.
1 star.
Where? What town is this located in?
This is East Dundee, Illinois.
Ooh, so close to home, huh?
Yeah, this is a local choice for me.
probably some fond memories there, huh?
I've actually never been. I've been to the parking lot and thought, they wouldn't charge me how much for me to go into this baby park? No, thanks.
So this guy was took offense to the size and quality of this park on a really deep level, huh?
And the goats.
And the goats. nothing like seeing a couple goats and just getting pissed off.
Goats aren't... I don't know about you. I'm an animal person, mm-hmm. but I do enjoy petting zoos. But I'm not really wowed by horses or goats too much. They just seem indifferent to me, so I reflect that attitude right back at them.
I mean, is that on horses or is that on petting zoo animals just having the most measly, meager existence that a human creature or a living creature could have?
Kids touch me all day.
Yeah, I would be pretty jaded, mountain goat or not, if I if my existence was in a petting zoo. That's worse than a regular zoo.
That's true. Yeah, if you're fondled by children all day and they try and feed you garbage from their little hands.
Yeah, you're just trying to chew some grass, you know, live your billy goat life, and a little punk comes up and tugs on your goatee. Hey, look at this thing!
Don't do that, Jonathan. That's an angry goat.
Yeah, they would see my glazed over
square eyes.
Yeah. I'd be the roughest goat in the petting zoo. You'd see me from there. I would be the goat that the parents would say, "Oh, don't go by that goat, Johnny. That one looks a little..."
He's a nipper.
Yeah, that one's a nipper. That one looks a little crazy. I would have a badass scar over one of my eyes. One of my horns would be broken off and jagged.
Two bottom teeth are always sticking out.
Yeah. They look kind of sharp. They look kind of kind of like orcish.
I would be eating something.
A parent would see that and they would instantly think that goat is orc adjacent. That is a spiritually orcish. That is a spiritually Uruk-hai goat. I'd wake up in the morning when the park opened and sniff the air with my goat nose and go, child flesh. Yeah, I would not be long for the petting zoo. I would have to go to, I'd get carted off to some rehabilitation clinic at best.
Yeah, you have to be trained to be they put like dolls out there with you. With their little robot arm, petting you constantly.
I imagine they would just sedate me. I would just live a sedated goat existence.
Like those therapy dogs. This is hearkening back to college again. Those therapy dogs.
Oh, right.
I wasn't a fan. I love dogs, but when a dog is just like too chill, that gets me more on edge.
Yeah, you get a little... You get some heebie-jeebies. It's like, this doesn't feel like a real pup.
It's a living, breathing puppet pup.
Yeah, like, what do they do to this poor pup to take the spark out of its soul?
It always threw me the wrong feelings. Anyway, a final note on Santa's Village. There was one other review that's just a couple words long that I also felt like including.
Uh-huh.
Liz Del Rio writes... My son was a baby there. One star. And I don't know if she means like he existed as a baby or if he was just like, my son was a little wuss. Afraid of the goats and stuff.
My 17-year-old son cried like a bitch when he saw those goats.
It's just a goat. It's just a goat. Come on, Mom. I don't know.
Yeah, what I pictured was a jaded emo teenager. Like, oh, we gotta go to the petting zoo. Oh my god! And he walks into the zoo, and his mom's a little bit ahead of him. And when she turns around, she just sees a pile of clothes on the ground. What happened? And she ruffles it around to reveal that her son has reverted back to the baby stage.
He's an infant.
Yeah, he's sort of baby Yoda waddling behind her, trying to keep up.
That's the magic of Santa.
Yeah, that, some might say that's a plus. It literally brings you back to your childhood.
Give it another chance.
Yeah, what do you expect, dude? It's a freaking petting zoo in Illinois, like the Chicago suburbs.
Yeah.
Gonna be a goddamn roller coaster of a time. No, there's gonna be some dumbass goats that are pissed off at their own existence, chewing on grass at best.
You're chewing on. Never mind.
chewing on the youthful essence giving off by all the newly turned babies.
I was gonna say chewing on ass at best, just because.
just a little rhyme joke. Nothing better than a little rhyme joke. Hey, Johnny, quit chewing on ass over there.
That's actually what we call the donkeys at this petting zoo. It's educational for the children. They need to get used to profanities.
That's their like inside turn of phrase for when someone's riling up the donkeys. Hey, you see those kids chewing on ass over there? God damn it, again.
Hey, get off the ass.
That's enough of the ass, kid. Can't you see he's upset?
You gotta be gentle.
You gotta be gentle with the ass, kid. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about dealing with these asses. You gotta be gentle, and then they'll take to you. Let's take a break.
Let's do that. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. ReviewParty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Welcome back to the other side, friends. It's time once again for Upon Further Review, where we look at the things that we thought we knew and we realize we knew nothing. Now, Brent.
Yes.
Today, I want to talk about vending machines.
Ooh. As the Japanese say, Jido Hanbaiki.
I'm glad you jumped right for that bait that I threw out, because you lived in Japan, you studied in Japan for a good period of time, so they have their own culture.
Right. About 2 years of my life spent in the land of the vending machine.
So what was the culture like? Was it truly a culture of vending machines?
Yeah, I mean, just the abundance of vending machines is immediately apparent. There's one on almost every street corner. Every neighborhood has a vending machine corral, I guess you would take it, or I guess you would call it. I would often, it was really nice. You know, I don't keep soda in the house just for health reasons, but I was never more than a 2 minute walk away from going and getting my sugar fix in the middle of the night.
And your little Sonic the Hedgehog, little action figure guy, probably.
Yeah. And it is sort of a culture of vending machines. I know it's like a common joke of like, ooh, we're going to a cafe, thinking you're going to a really fancy place. And you just, go to a vending machine with a bench next to it.
I feel like America has its own culture of vending machines, too. I know I've been on road trips and you stop. Like, oh, this has the suction cup vending machine where the thing just flips down and suctions onto your ice cream bar and drops it in the little drop spot. Or there's the, the food vending machines where you can get coffee, hot chocolate, and chicken noodle soup from the same little spigot.
Yeah, I love a high-tech vending machine. And going off of that, Japan is also famous for its unorthodox vending machines. I did not. It is a common misconception that there are panty vending machines in Japan. I'd like to clear that up.
Thank you.
Not a thing. Maybe there was one in some red light district somewhere sometime, but those aren't anywhere. That's a wives' tale. There are, in the subways, there are book vending machines, novella vending machines.
I heard about that.
Yeah, I always thought that was really cool. And there's also fresh produce vending machines outside grocery stores sometimes.
That's cool. Yeah. You've seen a bit more of that here in the States. Dog food vending machines too. Okay. Mm-hmm. Weighing all that in mind, when do you think the world's first vending machine came into existence?
It's gotta be at, I picture like a back when they had the technology world fairs.
Okay.
The old-timey world fair, so maybe 1910s? That's my final answer.
Okay. I can do a bit more research on when modern vending machines came into existence,
mm-hmm.
but the technical world's first automated vending machine was in the first century AD.
Really?
Invented by Hero of Alexandria.
Wow, that's amazing.
And he invented this thing because they were selling holy water out of churches, but people were taking more than they were paying for. So he got this thing that looked like an urn or like one of those big jugs that dispenses any sort of liquid that uh-huh. you might drink. And instead of a little spigot that you turn on yourself, there was a slot in the top, and you dropped a coin in the slot. The coin fell on a paddle, which was on a lever. The lever tilted with the weight of the coin, opening up a little plug, and holy water would flow out. And then the coin fell off, and the holy water would stop flowing.
So some very Rube Goldberg origins for it.
Yeah, he was no Rube, but he had that crazy early Simple Machines working for him to sell that holy water like hotcakes.
And yeah, the elephant in the room of that segment is the first, you know, what we now know as like an outdated 1994 Attack of the Clones skin place to get Pepsi's from, started off to get holy water. Now get our sugary corporate drinks.
Our cheap garbage
that sedates us and keeps us crazy in this awful, awful world from a place that was meant for holy water. That is both terribly weird and terribly fitting in a way.
Yeah, it really blew my noggin. Blew it right up.
You might want to put some holy water in there, clean that up.
Ooh.
Clean that disgusting mind of yours with some vending machine. Vending machine holy water, how is that for a phrase? Before I even said it, I was like disgusted.
Yeah, I don't know if I would trust it these days.
Right.
Where's it being sourced?
Yeah, when's the last time that holy water vending machine was cleaned?
And blessed.
Yeah, when was the last time that vending machine was blessed? Rabbi!
Little inspection thing, like on an elevator. Last blessed. By JC00.
Yeah, the technician/priest has to take a little selfie and post it next to the thing. The proving, you know, with the timestamp, proving it was blessed recently.
It's good. You throw it on vampires, it's clear.
How long in between, like, how long after a blessing before a holy water goes
evil?
Yeah, goes stale. How long before the devil's clutches can
seep up from the hellfire below?
Yeah.
I'd
give it, I'm no religious man, but a week of some holy water sitting there, I don't know how holy that is anymore.
I think it probably has a pretty good shelf life. You put that in your root cellar, just, you know, when the tornado comes.
I imagine a vampire movie, and they're running from an army of ravenous vampires, and they're turning corridors through this basement complex, vampires at every turn, and they come upon the holy water vending machine.
Get some.
No, hurry. And then they get it and they splash it in the evilest vampire's face. And the camera waits on him for a second, and no effect. When was the last time this holy water vending machine was blessed? Oh my god!
Did you choose diet? Oh no! That priest reformed. No.
Oh
he
no!
Left, he left the cloth.
It was a rabbi that blessed this last. This is no good. Vampires don't care about the Jews. God. If that was the case, we could throw pickles at them.
I don't even know what that is supposed to mean. Because they're kosher, is that?
Yeah, that's a kosher dills joke. Thank you very much.
Woo, I caught up just in time to grab onto the end and be pulled along.
Yeah, nothing like grabbing onto the end of a pickle.
That is true.
Thank you for sharing that wonderfully weird vending machine journey.
Yeah, now we know.
Now we know. And speaking of Japan, we separately find our reviews for this, folks. We do not, you know, these are always a surprise to the other person, just mm-hmm. to get that fun gut reaction to everything. So this is a wild coincidence. I have a review here of Carl's Jr. Tokyo.
Oh my.
Yeah, this is a Carl's Jr. located in the Akihabara neighborhood of Tokyo.
I mean, I know he did a lot of bad things to the Japanese over the course of time, but I think that's the worst. Giving him Carl's Jr. I'm so sorry. That's like gummy bears with grease. Sorry, continue.
No.
Begin.
This review was written by Craig S.
Very Japanese name.
Yeah. It appears he's originally from Pompano Beach, Florida. I don't know if he was an expat or just vacationing.
Craig-san, yes.
Yeah, Craig-san. And Craig-san writes, huge menu, extremely patient staff, and great food. Most importantly, Carl's Jr. Akiba is the only place in Tokyo I've been to that offers free refills on melon soda. They would go out of business if I lived there.
He loves him some melons?
I mean, Japanese melon soda, if you haven't tried it out there and you're a soda fan, it's a must try. I do love a good melon soda. I feel like it's a spin on the popular lemon lime sodas here. It's like a more robust citrus flavor, you know?
With an extra punch of sweetness, maybe. I may have tried something similar to this in the Coca-Cola exhibition at Epcot in Disney World. I can't be sure it was Japanese, though.
Melon soda is pretty... It's a lot like ramune. Ramune crossed with Sprite, you know, with a melon twist. But, what really struck me about the review is how much melon soda is this guy going to drink?
Yeah, in any fast food restaurant, sodas is the thing. It's the cheapest thing for the restaurant to get, and that's why they make the most money on it.
Yeah, it's the most... At any given restaurant, soda is the most profitable item on the menu.
It's just some goo and then some water and fizz.
Right.
And the cup. The cup is, like... I don't know if it's actually true, but you've heard in these times, 5 years ago maybe, that, the cup's the most expensive thing for your soda.
Yeah, I know back in my hometown, they're... When my dad was in high school, there was a sandwich restaurant, run by this old quirky Asian lady. That if you promised to give the cup back afterwards, the soda was free. That's how cheap soda is. It's virtually the same amount as water. So you are getting gypped every time you get that 99-cent large McDonald's Diet Coke.
It's so good.
Yeah, so this guy is drinking. We talked about drinking a gallon of Kool-Aid a day. This guy is drinking a 10-gallon barrel of melon soda every trip to Carl's Jr.
And fats.
Let me fill a bathtub with it.
He's got his giant greasy Carl's Jr. Or Hardee's, depending on where you're from, burger with the onion rings. Spritz me up a vat, would you, Tanaka?
He has a camelback and
fill her up.
You know how some movie theaters have a special, like, bring your own bucket, and then they'll fill it for you? And, you know, some people bring, like, a whole garbage bag to be filled. That's what you see. Japanese, it's like a Wild West film, except a Japanese city with all the Japanese children screaming and running into their homes, and you know, women grabbing their children and covering their mouths and quickly running indoors, people shutting their shutters, because Craig-san here is rolling down a couple barrels down the street. Rolling up. Yeah, he's sitting on the Japanese subway with a couple barrels in the seat next to him. Ready to fill up, ready to get his weekly fill of melon soda.
Daddy thinks it's normal.
He loves it. I think anyone that has a trip to Japan and spends one of their precious meal times at Carl's Jr. instead of all the wonderful Japanese cuisines and restaurants there's to explore, especially in Tokyo. There's a great restaurant on every corner that, you know, provides awesome and unique and wonderful flavors. You could spend a year in Japan going to a different ramen restaurant every day, or a year in
Follow
Tokyo.
Follow your nose, man.
Oh, I know. Follow you. The only thing Craig-san's nose led him to was some melon soda syrup.
Oh well. He'll do better next time, I'm sure. He's gonna go back to Japan just for the Carl's Jr.
Hey guys, it's me again. My yearly pilgrimage.
And he just has giant barrels with him again.
He opens up his suitcase to reveal he brought an empty one. Fill her up.
See you next year.
The manager cussing at him in Japanese under his breath as he fills up all his barrels. I mean, at that point, you just got to cut out the middleman and get yourself some soda syrup.
Yeah, the travel's better, I imagine.
Definitely.
You're not, like, rolling the high seas with barrels. Pirates thinking you have oil or something. You got to think about yourself, man.
I think he's got safety. He's got it down to a science. He doesn't push the barrel. He gets on top like a circus act and rolls it down the street, picking up high speed.
He just skips straight across the ocean, the buoyancy of the melon barrel, carrying him all the way back to Pompano Beach?
Pompano Beach, Florida. Yeah, he puts the barrel in the ocean. He's got his little oar, and he takes his yearly pilgrimage across the Atlantic.
Well, you could hope for a worse life. I've got a review that is similarly about people in strange places. People who are alien to the environment they are in. Because this is a review for Space Aliens Restaurant, Fargo, North Dakota.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, this review is a Google review. Comes to us from Chris McDaniels.
A few of us grown men had some fun for a bit, but the food was not made with the best care at all. I've eaten at the Minnesota location, and the food was awesome. Here in Fargo, my Martian munchies were little clumps of burnt funk. Also, the staff seemed to have dumped bleach all over the front entry area. This made trying to eat and pay even worse. Will not ever use this location again. one star.
People usually go off on Yelp and Google reviews because of a lack of cleanliness. This guy was like, these bastards clean the restaurant.
What are they doing? I want sticky floors.
I walked in and was immediately hit with how clean this restaurant is.
It's disgusting. I want to know who's in charge, who's making the decisions to bleach the floors.
Who? Where do you get off mopping these floors before I come in? You know I eat like a goddamn pig. The floors are going to be a mess after I gobble down some Martian funk. What did he call it? Clumps of Martian gunk?
My Martian munchies were little clumps of burnt funk.
I like my funk like medium to well, not
right.
Burnt.
Right. I do love a little funk, a little umami, as the Japanese say. So is it, what kind of restaurant is this place? Did you look at that at all? Is it like a sit down?
Yeah, it's a sit down. It has an arcade. There's lots of alien decorations, memorabilia posters. And mostly it's someplace that a kid would like to go.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
it's
okay.
Very telling that he starts his review, "A few of us grown men had some fun for a bit."
I'm a grown ass man, but I had some fun at Space Aliens Restaurant. Let me be straight.
Yeah, let me take you back to the drinking beers with the boys in the alleyway. Old Frank was like, "You know, guys, you guys ever think about going to that sick-ass Martian restaurant? That place looks fucking awesome, am I right?"
"Man, I'm afraid of aliens. I only go to Chuck E. Cheese."
Yeah, this guy hated this place so much, you'd think he'd got abducted and probed.
"Man up! We're gonna go see some aliens."
I did see in some of the reviews, I guess an alien character comes around for pictures, too.
Right?
They didn't get that experience on this visit, though.
Oh, no. I bet that would have turned the one star to a five star, no matter how burnt the funk was.
Yeah. I didn't realize until now, but it hurts my heart a little bit to know that Space Aliens Restaurant only has one star.
Really? That's their review average?
Just because it's space.
Oh.
There's so many more stars out there waiting for them.
Man, we really are hitting some of the most awful dad jokes we've ever gotten to in this episode, huh? But that's what the people are here for.
Yeah, if it tickles the pickle, just go with it.
Hey, watch your language.
I'm sorry. That joke was a classic. All right, let's mop this up.
Wait. That shitty pun really got me in a pickle over here.
God.
Okay, let's get the hell out of here, man.
Pour some bleach on this fire.
Thank you, listener, for listening to ReviewParty.com. We can't thank you enough. We love doing it. We're having a blast getting this podcast out every week, and we can't thank you enough for listening to our crappy dad jokes.
Yeah, we want more of you. Us two plus you equals a party. So keep coming on out, and we'll keep doing it.
Yeah, word of mouth is the best way that podcast takes out. If you're having a good time, let your friends know about this fun new podcast that you happened to pwn.
Giggling together is a panacea.
Yeah. What's that famous author who went off on his own to have a wilderness trip and then died, and there's a movie about him with the Twilight Lady in it? That's a crazy tangent just to say the quote, happiness is only real when shared.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Came from a dark place, but I like that.
Right. And that makes it even heavier. But anyway, to get back to the giggle fits, let your friends know. Please subscribe wherever you're listening to the review. This podcast is available wherever podcasts are sold. And if you want to go above and beyond, go ahead and leave a review at that place, especially on iTunes. They really, really take reviews to heart there.
If you want to go even further, yeah, check out reviewparty.com, reviewparty, D-O-T-C-O-M.com. Get a shirt or something. Rep the new party that you're a part of.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait to get my hands on a shirt and
Wait to get my arms in a shirt.
Can't wait to get my arms, my legs into some shirts. Can't wait to be wearing all reviewparty.com apparel, walk into a petting zoo, and be turned into a child. And then everyone can be like, look how cute those oversized podcast shirts are.
Adorbs. As always, we would like to thank our friends Nosebleeds for letting us use their song Bread for Breakfast. If you like their music that you heard here and want to hear more, you can find Nosebleeds, one word, on Spotify.
Yeah, I hear they got a new album coming out shortly. I'm very excited.
I am too.
And if you'd like to send in an absurd review for us to make dad jokes over, please send an email with a hyperlink to the review to reviewparty.com@gmail.com. And include your name so we can give you credit for the review. I think that's all the bullshit we have for your ears today. Is it all right if I read a review to play us out?
Yeah, we have shoveled enough. Let's play us out.
That fire does not need any more shit shoveled into it. This is a review from Amazon for the Miracoli Aquarium Decorations Fish Tank Castle. It is by Michael J. Carlson, and it reads, "Haven't heard the fish complain about it once. 5 stars. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
Take it easy out there, everybody.